This is Metro Mornings. You're with me, Jane, on Chennai Live 104.8 FM. Well, there was some fantastic back-to-back music. We had Sorry by Justin Bieber. And we have All Summer Long by Kid Rock playing for you just a while ago. But on the show, in just a bit, on Live and Let Live Wednesdays, we have two lovely people joining us on the show. We have Prerna. She's a certified parent educator from Parenting Matters. And we also have Mr. Arvind Ranganathan. He's a teacher at the school KFI, which is a school based on the philosophy of J. Krishnamurti. Now, this school does not believe in the use of rewards or punishments. And Arvind is going to tell us all through today about how this school used non-punitive methods of discipline. And he'll also talk about the collaborative, non-coercive ways one can adopt to help children build inner discipline. Before we go across to the two of them, here's some things that are trending all across the world. And this one is, of course, Priyanka Chopra. We've been speaking about this since yesterday from Jigar Tanda. And the reason I'm talking about this, I mean, it requires an immense amount of discipline for any actor, for any artist to really make sure that they're right on top. And, you know, her name is right after Steve Carell in one of the, you know, just very few actors and people who are asked to present at the Oscars. And everyone's been talking about it. It's almost like she's, you know, been nominated and she's won. But it's taken immense amount of struggle and discipline to get there. So I guess all one needs to do is just look forward and do things right. Well, on this show, I'm going to go to Prerna. Prerna, good day and welcome to the show.
Good morning, Jane.
All right, so you heard about Priyanka Chopra?
No.
Presenting at the Oscars. It's been trending all across.
And I think news.
I know, from Bollywood to international circuits, and doing really well for herself. I think it's a great way forward. Anyways, you tell us, what are we going to talk about today?
Jane, today we wanted to explore approaches to discipline. Now, you know, in our workshops, very often parents, even in without our workshops, people, our parents come and they say we grapple with discipline. In fact, I think it's the most Googled word by parents. So typically, you know, when we see a child misbehaving or showing unacceptable behavior, instinctively on autopilot, we either shout or yell at the child or say, go and sit in that corner and think what you did, you know. Or we might lash out on the child. Don't you know better? You must listen to me.
Absolutely. And I don't think it's only for small children. I think this is an attitude that carries on for life. Like, yeah, your parents are not happy with you about something. Happens even in my house. They don't talk to you. They just punish you. And you feel really victimized, don't you?
So, yeah, absolutely. And where is this coming from? I think what I can say is this is coming from a thing called dominant paradigm. Mm-hmm. You know, we've learned about parenting. We've learned about how adults must behave with children only through what we see around us. And that's what the most people around us in the society believe, that children are empty vessels. They don't have it in them. They need adults to really shape them, mold them, teach them. Otherwise, they're going to end up being, you know, nothing. So today's show, what we want to speak about is this kind of belief helping us? Are our actions, our interactions with children in the garb of disciplining them, helping us to really, really unleash the inner potential which children have? After all, they are individuals and human beings in their own right. So in the sense of people making, how are our actions affecting children? And Jane, we've spoken through these 10 shows, last 10 weeks, a lot on the home environment. But to put it, you know, plainly, it's the home and the school together which, you know, makes the child. So today, you know, it's nice that Arvind is here with us and he can give a perspective about how discipline is approached in schools and how it helps children shape their personality.
Absolutely. Chennai, if you'd like to talk to us about it in general, disciplining at home or at school or even at the corporate place, you know, I think a very rigid kind of an approach is what we were all used to, even in offices, you know, where you couldn't really see your bosses. It's a very closed door policy. But today, if you look at a lot of the organizations, Google for instance, it's a very open door policy. You can see your teammate and you can see your boss and your boss's boss sometimes across the same space with no walls in between. I mean, do we have to bring down those walls in homes, schools, offices, and relationships everywhere? Is what we're overall going to also be focusing on. If you'd like to talk about it, 4242-1048, that's the number you can call us on. I'm going to go across to Mr. Arvind. Arvind, good morning and welcome to the show.
Good morning, Jane.
All right, so tell us, before we go launching straight into the topic, tell us a little bit about yourself, Arvind.
So I'm a teacher at the school, and I've been teaching there for the last 8 years.
Mm-hmm.
And what else would you like to know?
No, I want to know a little bit about you. Like, what made you get into this school? Why are you not a teacher at some other school? I mean, there would have been certain things that if you've been here for 8 years, you know, you've really accumulated and you've taken forward.
Right. I'm an alumnus of the school too, and
okay.
It's a place that I studied, and mm-hmm. so I was naturally drawn back to the school as a
right.
place to teach.
Mm-hmm.
And I feel that it's a good place to work, and I think education is looked at in a fairly wide way. And it's where you're not looking merely at the academics of the child, and you're looking at all aspects of the child.
Mm-hmm.
It's physical growth, it's emotional growth. And so it gives a much wider sense of the child and its growing up. And it's a very fulfilling place to work.
Absolutely. So you studied there, you came back, you're working there, which means life has come a full circle in terms of disciplining a child. Now, this is a word that's been used, abused, misused. How exactly does your school deal with it? As a teacher, how do you look at it? And how exactly do you think you want to put the context to the conversation today?
Right. So disciplining normally is thought of in terms of obedience and I mm-hmm. think the following of rules. And particularly, I think in a school, I think teachers might think of it in terms of classroom management, perhaps. And I'm wondering whether we can look at it in a slightly different perspective.
Mm-hmm.
The primary purpose of a school is learning, and teachers and students come together for learning. And and learning is not possible without a certain amount of order. So in a school, when we think about discipline, can we think of the following three aspects? The first I would say is, could teachers perhaps focus primarily on creating engaging learning contexts
mm-hmm.
rather than worry about classroom management, really.
Mm-hmm.
So could the focus be on learning rather than on how do I keep children quiet in a classroom?
Yeah, it's not like I get into the class and say, you know what, you shut up if you're talking. It shouldn't be like that. There should be a much more easy, fluid way of you engaging the child so they're not bored and they don't end up talking to each other.
So where there is a sense of purposive learning,
mm-hmm.
then classroom management becomes a secondary
issue.
Give
us an instance, like how do you make your classes more engaged?
What
do you teach?
I teach mathematics.
Wow, now that is one subject a lot of people would probably run away from. I didn't, but I know a lot of my friends who did.
Could we get into that a little later perhaps in terms
right.
of, I'll just lay out the other two all aspects
right.
as well and
go
then
ahead.
We could come back to this. And the second part of it I feel is, could children come to see that order is important? And that it's not possible to learn unless there's a certain kind of order.
Mm-hmm.
And when they come to see the importance of it for themselves, then they're a part of it. That is not something that's imposed upon them.
Mm-hmm.
And in fact, it's possible for them to evolve certain norms for within their classrooms and so on. And so it becomes owned by them as well
mm-hmm.
as the teacher too.
Right.
And I think the third aspect that one can think of in terms of disciplining is this whole attempt of use of punishments as a way to ensure that rules are followed or
mm-hmm.
whenever there's a deviation from a particular rule or misbehavior, as it were. And I think we should consider what the effects of punishment are. And so that would be the third aspect. So I think if we don't look at what are some tips and tricks for me to try and keep children quiet, that shouldn't be what discipline is about. But rather, all these three aspects together might allow us to think a little more deeply about what discipline is and how.
All right, so there's a much more fruitful engagement. You're giving them a sense of purpose and order, and you're telling them, hey, you know what, it's possible if we're in this together. Treat them a little bit like adults, maybe.
Yes, so children are capable of reasoning, are capable of thinking things through,
mm-hmm.
and one can tap into that.
Absolutely. I'm going to put you on hold there, and I have a caller, two of them on the phone lines. We have Jack and Dr. Vignesh. Well, Jack, very good day and welcome to the show.
Hi, very good morning to you.
Good morning. You gave us a call yesterday, didn't you, on Jigar Tanda?
You're right.
Go ahead,
Jack.
Lovely. Go ahead. Tell us, what do you think about the topic on the show?
The topic on the show, I want to know one thing. I have my son is 4 years old.
Okay.
He's doing his LKG.
Mm-hmm.
And for everything, he literally starts crying. I don't know how to make him settle for certain
right.
things. No,
so when is the last time that he actually cried? You said for everything. When was the last time?
Last time, since morning when I left home. To workplace and just came back by 9:30. I mean, I just spoke to you yesterday night. I reached by 9:30, 10 o'clock around to my house. since then, when I'm reaching home, still was praying for something else. You know? I said, when I'm leaving in the morning, you're praying, and I'm coming back home again, you're praying. So what's wrong with you?
Okay, all right. So this is something that, you know, children constantly feel, and parents have no idea how to kind of discipline them. This is a much younger child. Prerna, would you like to tell us how one can deal with this?
Jane, I feel crying is a cry for help. So when the children are really small, they don't have enough words to express what's going on. Now, there's no blanket reason which I can say that if he's crying in the morning, it's this reason, or he's crying in the night, this is the reason. The reasons could be so different. But the fact of the matter is, the child needs something and is communicating to us through his crying. And it's up to us as parents to maybe sit back, observe what's happening with my child. Where is he coming from? What is the need behind this behavior? So for instance, in the night, it could be the child is really tired or has waited up for the parents, not had a meal, or has had a long day and is cranky. Or in the morning, it could be so many different reasons, not got enough sleep, or is scared for something, you know, about maybe scared to go to school. So the reasons are so many. So I would advise Jack to probably observe a little more and see what's happening. Where is this behavior stemming from? Because only then we will really reach the root of the problem rather than just solve the symptom.
What I feel, you know, it's like he wants to sort of certain problems. You know, he comes in the way of crying. So if he wants something, he want to pull up to, you know, he want to change the tune the channel to Chutti TV or something. He'll come to us, take the remote, and he'll carry the remote and say he'll cry entire day till the time we are going to change the channel to Chutti TV. He'll keep on crying. So once it is done, he will settle down.
So it's pretty much a way of getting your way. So it's really difficult to actually do this.
No,
maybe you need to give him some time and tell him we're not going to change the channel and see how long he cries. That's something my parents do. If I ask for, even today, if I ask for something, they just let me cry, let me be. And after a while, you realize that you know crying does not help.
No, can I add something, Jay?
Yeah, go ahead.
So, in fact, one thing is, yes, that like Jack said, there is a need, and that's why he's crying. So, need here is probably he wants support from his parents to do something. So, if the parents can do it, can meet the need, well and good. But if they can't, then there is empathy to give. To say, we cannot change the channel today, and I understand you're upset about it. You know, so that's what's going to help the child understand that the parents care about him. Because if you let your child just cry unattended, then the message which is going to his brain is that I'm not cared for, and he feels a loss of safety.
So you got to deal with it. You got to talk to the child,
yes,
and say, hey, you know what?
Always attend to the child.
Okay.
Definitely.
And then there's a way of, what if he continues to cry?
Yeah, and so it's okay. You All have
right.
to sit with your child
and
be around.
All right.
Just be around. Hold the child. The child is small in Jack's case. Hold the child and say, I understand you're really upset. You're not liking it. You want to see Chutti TV. And you know what? Right now it's time for dinner and we cannot put the TV on.
All right. So you actually engage in a conversation with the child. Jack, you have an answer. Try it out and let us know. Avarukku Chutti TV la enna pidikkumba?
Chutti TV, what is that? Dora?
Dora. I know lots of kids have their own, preferences. And I guess it takes some time to also come around, and they're really, really young. Can't really express.
No, I don't believe in beatings and all sort of things. Because I take time, I say no, it cannot happen now. So no, but still no, it'll keep on trying. So because as I said, till the time it's getting done, it's not let us be.
I get where you're coming from. So I guess talking to him, not doing it one day, keeping him around, maybe engaging him with something else that he likes, maybe is something that is possible. Mr. Arvind, tell us, what do you think?
Sometimes I think there might be some other underlying needs as well, and sometimes it gets expressed in a slightly different way,
mm-hmm.
and it may not be connected to the TV per se. So, for instance, I think it might be a need for spending more time with the parents, maybe sometimes.
Mm-hmm.
In which case, perhaps one is to try and solve the issue at the moment.
Mm-hmm.
The other is to try and think of ways in which one could perhaps be spending time with the child in different ways. Maybe, you know, to pull the child along, to read a book,
mm-hmm.
to go for a walk, to play on the beach and so on. And that provides a platform for the next kind of interaction that might happen or something.
Absolutely. So find the child other pleasurable ways of spending time. So whether it's a book or going for a walk or playing a game with
that connect with the child.
Okay.
And which allows you, therefore, to have a conversation at times where there are difficulties as well.
Absolutely. Well, I get where you're coming from. So, Jack, you have a whole bunch of options now. So, yes. Go ahead and try these. Tell us which one works, all right?
Sure.
What's your son's name?
Yes, Adriel.
Okay, so big hi and lots of hugs and love to him. You have a wonderful day, Ed. All right, Jack?
Thank you so much.
Thanks a bunch. I'm going to go across to another caller who joins us. This is Dr. Vignesh. Remember, if you want to call us and talk to us about disciplining at any age, the context in which you'd like to kind of give us a perspective, 4242-1048, that's the number you can call us on. Dr. Vignesh, good morning, vanakkam, and welcome to Metro Mornings. Dr. Vignesh, are you there? All right, we seem to have lost Dr. Vignesh. We'll get back to Dr. Vignesh in just a bit. My producer will bring him in. But Arvind, I was asking you about being a math teacher. What are some of the most practical ways of getting children who are not into math, who, you know, don't really like the subject? I know the school has options of, you know, opting out of subjects and stuff, but I believe math is quite integral to your academics, isn't it?
Yes, and students do mathematics all the way till class 10, and mm-hmm. then they can choose to do mathematics later.
Okay.
And I don't know about students opting out of subjects. I think they're whatever the board requirements are, that the students
it has
do
to be done, right? So how do you engage them? You said meaningful engagement.
Right. So I think sometimes what happens with in a subject like mathematics, for instance, is that there is a lack of understanding sometimes, and that's usually what expresses itself later as a dislike or fear of the subject.
Mm-hmm.
And so I usually don't focus so much on trying to address the fear per se, but to try and see if understanding can come in. So if and I've noticed that when a child begins to understand something, and the way there is clarity, the fear disappears, and then there is a greater engagement with the subject. So mm-hmm. then you wonder, what was it that I was afraid of? And so rather than say don't be afraid of it, it becomes possible to let go of it in an indirect way, to address the fact that there is perhaps a lack of understanding somewhere, which has led, accumulated over some time, into this fear.
Mm-hmm. But what are the fun ways that you engage with them? I mean, sometimes do you take the class out of class? How do you make
not
it
necessarily
fun?
I think the fun is in the subject per se.
Mm-hmm.
And I think when the mind is engaged with something, then the fun is in it as well. So it doesn't have to be fun is in it as well. So it doesn't have to be exciting in terms of you know, fun ways to do it.
Mm-hmm.
But to pull the child into thinking about the topic per se, that mm-hmm. you have. And then there are many ways to do that. For instance, I don't know if you really want to get into this.
No, go ahead. I'd love to understand.
So, for instance, I think if you're doing constructions, for mm-hmm. instance, and then there is, you could teach it one way. Then you can say, see, I'm going to do a construction on the board, and I'm going to deliberately make an error, and I'd like you to spot it. And then immediately there's an engagement on that thing, and then the children are thinking, and then they put out the error, and then you have a process of discussion that goes forward. So, so there are ways in which one can bring.
So instead of just talking down to them, here's a way of probably even making that mistake that they could make, and then getting them more activated.
Right. So an active thinking process is essential for learning, and so you're trying to get that going in a classroom. So you're not focused on merely skills and the passing on of certain topics and saying I've finished my portions.
I wish a lot of bosses in the corporate would also do this. Let you make those mistakes and make them. 104.8 FM. Chennai, this is Metro Mornings. This is Live and Let Live Wednesdays that you're tuned into on Chennai Live 104.8 FM. Well, this morning I got a very interesting quote from a friend of mine that I thought I would share with you on the show. Before we go across and talk about what we've been discussing over the last half hour, and we've been talking about disciplining your child in school, how a lot of schools can look at more you know, effective ways of keeping the children engaged. So punishing them, how you know, you can kind of throw them off guard is something that we're discussing right here on the show. The quote I want to share is about an arrow. Now, if you look at an arrow, can only be shot by pulling it backwards. So when life is dragging you back with difficulties, it means that it's going to launch you into something great. So just focus and keep aiming, even if your day isn't too good. But I promise you, it's a Wednesday, it's the middle of the week, so it can only get better from here. That's the big promise that I give you. I'm going to go across to two callers before we go and talk to Prerna and Arvind Ranganathan in the studio. Jasmine, good morning and welcome to the show.
Hi, good morning.
Lovely to have you. Now I can hear you loud and clear. Go ahead, Jasmine. What would you like to ask or tell us?
Well, I am an early child care specialist and I am also the managing director of one of the child care centers in Chennai.
Mm-hmm.
I was quite interested in this topic as I wanted to make my point in terms of early child care development and what is discipline. So disciplining the child, I'm sure people there at the expert at your center would definitely agree with me that disciplining is matter of fact with under 5 years of children.
Mm-hmm.
So I've heard about Jack having an issue.
Right.
Indian women or Indian parenting is slightly different. You know, that's where we get into childhood problems which are, you know, related to child issues in terms of discipline per se. So I was just thinking that if we start early in terms of disciplining in a way where the child is able to accept that I have a choice, that I will be able to do certain things in a certain time,
mm-hmm.
and not always.
All right.
That is the thing that is contrasting to Western culture.
All right. Jasmine, I'm very sorry, but I really can't hear you for some reason. I do not know. I think we'll try and get you back to get your point on air. I'm going to go across to Revati and see if the phone lines are better. Revati, good morning and welcome to the show. Revati, are you there?
Yeah, hi, I'm Revati here and I follow Parenting Matters. In fact, I'm a student of Parenting Matters and every day I keep learning through the radio show as well.
Right, go ahead. Tell us, what would you like to contribute on the show today?
More than contribution, I have to ask, what happens is I'm a working woman and also mother of twin kids. One small question is, while studying, what happens is if we are around, yes, I can see some output, but when we are not around, they kind of tend to play.
Mm-hmm.
So that's when I'm
a little worried. I think most parents are worried about this, and especially parents, both the parents having full-time jobs, is going to be a little difficult. Arvind, you want to answer that question? How do parents really like tackle that? If they're around, the children study, otherwise they don't.
How old are the children?
How old are the kids, Devati? Devati, are you there?
9 years old.
Okay, 9 years
and
old.
And they are in fourth standard.
Okay, all right, go ahead.
Well, my first response to that would be, I think play is a good thing for 9-year-olds. And I think if they are playing, that's a good thing for them too. And of course, I think when, so are you saying that they do not do their homework when they need to do their homework? Is that your question?
For homework, they are focused because, they'll be unhappy in the class. But when it comes to exams and preparation, so that's when there is a challenge. So I would give them few sums. Then once it is done or once they are midway, then they get distracted. And I can't call it lack of discipline, but definitely only my presence is there. They are able to manage.
Do you think they're kind of used to it, like used to having the mother or the father, whoever is that supportive force around? Is that something that's a conditioning?
So I think if they are working with you around, that's not a bad thing per se. That I think if children are able to sit with the work while you're also with them, then it allows them to learn, and that's not a bad thing per se. And I think if they are not inclined towards working when you're not there, you might want to find a way in which you might want to look at how long do you want them to study. Is it too many hours? Is it realistic in terms of the kind of time that you're expecting them to work together? Is it possible to break it up into smaller chunks of time that they can work for maybe 25 minutes or half an hour, and then do something else and then come back again, and so on.
Alright, so he's saying it's a good thing that when you're around, they like to study, because possibly they associate you with getting their homework done, studying and all of that. Maybe your presence around is just good for them. So keep it going. I don't think there's anything wrong, Revati.
Yeah. Thank you so much.
Thank you very much for giving us that call. I'm going to go back to Arvind. So those are some of the questions that we had. Unfortunately, couldn't hear Jasmine too well. Let's see if we can reconnect to her. My tech manager, Titus, is here. We'll see if that call can be taken. But Arvind, in the meanwhile, you know, you were talking about punishments some time back. We did focus on this a couple of weeks ago on the show. But in terms of disciplining the child, how exactly can punishments work? You know, when we were back in school and in college, a lot of the boys and girls who did not really enjoy the academic sessions would like to be outstanding students. In the sense, they would like to get out of class, they would like to bunk, they'd like to be asked to get out because they're like, okay, if it's one good way, I can get out. So almost punishments become synonymous with freedom after a point in time. But how do you kind of really regulate this as you're growing up in school?
So I think we need to see what why punishments are used. Punishments are used in a sense when somebody doesn't do something that you think they ought to be doing. Mm-hmm. And you think that perhaps this is the way to teach them how to do that thing. And the question that's begging is, does it really teach them? And often punishments are irrelevant to what has happened. And I think that's the biggest problem with punishments. That if my not doing homework has nothing to do with me standing outside the classroom after that, there might be certain reasons why I've not done my homework. And without addressing that, you have not really gone anywhere. So there is a lot of irrelevance to the punishment and the act of whatever the act was.
Mm-hmm.
And so the child is confused. Now, why am I having to stand outside the classroom and I've not done my homework or whatever else it might have been?
Mm-hmm.
And that doesn't lead to a change at all. The second thing, the problem with punishment is that, of course, it's shaming. And
yeah,
I think
and
it's shaming
fear,
in front of a lot of...
Right, when we were back in school, they used to write in our school calendars for everything we've not done.
That's
and
right.
Our parents have to sign it.
That's right.
So kids are afraid of their parents, they're afraid of showing it. And then it becomes this entire really weird kind of connotation. I had a friend of mine, a student in my class, who never used to do homework, very, very naughty. And his mom was a teacher. And my dad was also a teacher. And I used to study well, so I was being spoken about well. And this boy is doing very well today, but back in the day, was very, very naughty. So his mom comes into the class one day. He didn't do his homework or something of that sort. And I think she got so irritated that she slapped him in front of the entire class. Now, that's a memory that a child definitely doesn't want to carry forward, right?
Right. So the so while it seems like it's effective in the shorter term,
mm-hmm.
The effects of fear and shaming last a lifetime. And I think people, even as adults who are seemingly confident and coping well and doing well, there's sometimes an underlying sense of anxiety and fear that works with them.
Mm-hmm.
And so this is things that can last you for a very, very long time in your life and affect you. So it's not simply a measure that is used only for the shorter term. It has an impact on the whole growing up and the kind of person that they grow up to be as well, much later on.
Right, I have a caller with me who's joining us right now. Jasmine, good day and welcome to the show. I think we can hear you now.
Yeah, hi, good morning.
Good morning, can you hear you better? So if you could sum up what you were saying in a couple of lines, that would be great. Go ahead, Jasmine.
Awesome, I am an early childhood specialist and I was trained that I'm also managing director of a play school in Chennai.
Mm-hmm.
Called as Jaipur Early Childcare.
Right.
I just wanted to make a point saying that early childcare and disciplining makes the fruit of the whole thing at the end of the day. I was listening to what Jack was saying and generally parenting and Western parenting has a lot of difference.
Okay, Jasmine, I'm so sorry. This is the second time it's happening, but I definitely have an issue with your phone lines. I would love you to probably tell my producer what you're saying in short, and she will paraphrase it in the next segment. I will take it down and figure out what it is. Well, on the other side, we'll probably get Jasmine back. But I'm going to wrap up the show in just a bit. Arvind, you're telling us about punishments and how it's only a short-term thing. So doing it, meeting it out is only going to have long-lasting impacts on your children as they grow, and they're always going to be afraid. And fear is never the good way to go forward because you're not going to be a positive or happy person. You're never going to be able to do things like just with your guard down because you're always used to the fact that if you do it wrong, someone is going to punish you.
Right, and it's also irrelevant to what you've done. So there is no real change in you that you wanted to.
Absolutely. So there's no connection at all.
Absolutely.
Just because you hit a child or make a child stand out or shame a child, it's not going to make that child do what you wanted it to do better in the first place.
Which really shows that you, your own sense of impatience to having to deal with the situation.
With it. Right, absolutely. Well, your third, you know, part of the conversation was about bringing some kind of an order in the middle of all this chaos while a child is growing up. I mean, there's so many beautiful things we can learn. There's things I'm learning. I'm 30 plus and I'm still learning something every single day. My teacher might be the internet. My teacher might be people around me. How do you make sure that this kind of an order, a discipline is set into your life? How does it come in?
So this question is, can children come to see the sense of order for themselves?
Mm-hmm.
And when they do that, they sort of value it. They don't talk about it saying I value it, but you can see it in their actions itself. And I think there is something innate there, which is that children like things to make sense to them. And when it doesn't make sense to them, they're disturbed. And it gets expressed in crying, or it gets expressed in shouting, or it gets expressed in some way. And often the response is to that particular action.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas the underlying thing is a certain sense of, sense of discomfort with things not being making sense.
Mm-hmm.
So one can look at how the environment is organized, for instance. What is the kind of routine that a child has? Is that particularly for really young children, you need to have a certain predictability of routine.
Mm-hmm.
And when that predictability changes, then it makes them a little unsure as to what is happening.
Mm-hmm.
Or when you go to a new situation, for instance, then children are not sure what to expect of that new situation. And you might find behavior there which you might find inappropriate, but it's really stemming from a sense of...
Especially for the young adults, right? Because they're already seeing so many changes in their body, so many changes in their hormones. Inbuilt changes and then changes outside, very difficult for them to really, every child really deals with it differently, doesn't it?
Right. I was actually referring to much younger children,
mm-hmm.
but yes, also for older children, that that when change does happen, that you're unsure about it and you need to make sense
of
it.
Who really gets the child back on track when there's been a big deviation in their life?
So I think the basis for all of this is the kind of relationship that you have with the child and
mm-hmm.
your capacity to be able to talk to the child about anything. The real tool that you have in your hands is conversations, to be
mm-hmm.
able to talk. And I think if you see the value of being able to talk about things and to reach a kind of understanding through talking,
mm-hmm.
then I think even in the most difficult of situations, you have that as your tool and not have to resort to... other means that you
so
have.
So conversation is with the parent, with sometimes the teachers, but whether it's through art or music or literature or other things, other pursuits apart from hardcore academic subjects, is that some way that you can help the child deal with differences around them, changes around them? Is that a good way, a positive way of bringing it out?
Right. If you see any children are, if you look at the whole child, it's not just an intellectual capacity alone. So you have a musical ability or an artistic ability and so on. And so if you have various avenues in which these are also a part of your growing, your learning and your expression,
mm-hmm.
then
it kind of balances out, right? So if you're having difficulties with your academics but you're doing well, let's say a sport really well, maybe you're playing at the state level, is there some sense of balance there? I'm just asking, the purpose for every child need not be academic.
Certainly not.
Yeah?
Certainly
so
not.
The pursuit is different.
But so in that sense, schools must also organize themselves around that,
mm-hmm.
in the sense that there is space for various kinds of expression,
mm-hmm.
and that a child finds opportunities
mm-hmm.
to be able to explore all aspects of themselves.
Absolutely. Extending it to the corporate world today, I mean, a lot of people who've been disciplined, saying this is your role, this is your KRA, this is what you must do. I mean, do you think that corporates can also kind of look at this, because they're also teachers, right? Bosses. I'm trying to find out if they can engage in a more meaningful relationship with the employees by giving them a larger context to what they're doing. Do you think that's kind of missing from the time we're in school till the time we go to work, till the time we grow in our careers, that it's all very like with blinkers on? This is exactly what you must do. Do you think there should be a larger focus so that there's some order in the way that you live?
Yeah, wherever you focus on an end product, you find that relationships suffer in a sense. And so you're driven towards delivering of a particular product or a, you know, a particular kind of an end or a profit or a result or whatever you want, then I think everything gets narrowed to that, and you you do not
life is just going past you, and you're just stuck in that blizzard which you call your motto for that point in time. So it's good to kind of have a very constant engagement with lots of things, constant conversations, and that's how you open a child's mind up, right?
Yes.
As it grows, and then later into an adult as well.
That's right.
All right, thanks very much, Arvind. Prerna, what would be your final thoughts on the show today?
I so agree with Arvind that, you know, the process is as, I think, more important than the end outcome. Mm-hmm. So as parents, if we focus on the process and we engage with our children. So for instance, in our workshop, several parents come and say, we don't like punishing. We don't like hitting our children. You know, I can't sleep at night. I feel guilty that I've hit my child or scolded my child. And so we speak about various tools in our workshops. So the first one would be to understand where is the behavior stemming from? What is the need of the child which needs to be addressed? You know, so what we were talking with Jack. What is prompting my child to jump on that sofa? So it's a simple thing. These days we don't have enough place to go and play. Children have this need for movement. So knowing that, can I then, you know, for the safety of my child, because he might fall from that sofa, or even for that sofa might get dirty, that could be my, you know, motivation. But watch out for that, and maybe give him a mattress on the floor, or take him out to a park, or take him cycling. So that would be one way to, you know, instead of saying don't do this and again
find
repeat
an alternative.
The same thing, find an alternative which addresses the need of the child.
Mm-hmm.
The second one would be what Arvind says, communication and conversations, more so in terms of problem solving. So you sit with your child and say, we have a problem. Now, looks like you're finding it tough to do your homework every day. And how can I help you? So engaging with that, and absolutely not necessary that you'll be able to find the solution at the first conversation you have. But that's what will stay when they have that sense of purpose, that I'm doing this work for my benefit. I'm doing this because I need to learn and, you know, get an education. When that sense of purpose comes in, automatically the engagement goes to a different level. And the third thing I'd like to say is setting limits. So very often we feel we cannot say no to children, or we feel we have to say no to children and do it harshly. But realizing that the children have needs out of which they are behaving, and our job as parents is to be coaches for them. So if, can we be around with empathy? Can we, you know, help them, steer them in the right direction? So maybe, you know, for a smaller child, the child is throwing sand in some other child's hair. We cannot allow that. We cannot say, oh, it's need for exploration, he's enjoying, I must not say no to my child. That is the time where the parent has to take quick action, maybe gently, empathetically pick up the child and say, we cannot throw sand on somebody else, it's hurting that other person. So, you know, those kind of things is special. And Jane, same thing with older kids. So your child keeps coming late or doesn't keep the word. Say, for instance, your own example. You say, I go back home so tired and my mom says you're not helping out in household chores. What if your mom was to tell you, I can see you're so tired and I've had a tough day too. Can we do this together? You know, you will feel like cooperating.
Right. A more participative,
yes,
positive angle to the whole thing instead of just complaining and dumping problems on each other.
So the question is, can we move away from mere obedience, disciplining, being... because I said so, my child has to do, to a more collaborative way that let's do it together. We are doing this to make our life more peaceful and share a beautiful relationship.
When it's a parent and a child, or it's two people in a relationship, a husband and a wife, or a older parent and an older child, whoever this dynamic is between, or even partners who work together, business partners, wherever, I think this kind of a communication is to be more engagement and less blaming and less punishing and less like, I won't talk to you until, you know, you come around my way, right? I mean,
yes,
that's
and when
more
there's, I guess, mutual respect, it doesn't matter whether it was, you know, whatever power equation, when there's a mutual respect, I think things start falling into place.
Absolutely. Well, that's something we totally encourage. Mutual respect, understanding your child. Just because, you know, you're 20 years older than your child doesn't mean that you know everything and the child knows nothing. I mean, this is a patriarchal, matriarchal, whatever you call it, mindset, where the parent just thinks, I'm right, no matter what, no matter how old I am. You know, all we need to do is reduce those bridges really go across and talk to the child in a more sane way and not just throw words around, throw abuses around, it's really not going to work. Yes, Arvind, what's your final thoughts on the show?
Just a small point, which is that I think when difficulties arise, is it possible to focus on the issue rather than blame the person?
Mm-hmm.
And I think it is possible to point out a particular harm or a certain insensitive action by talking of the action per se,
mm-hmm.
and seeing what it does rather than resort to speaking of the person and blaming them for it.
Absolutely. So look at more what is happening and look at the deeper, you know, underlying what's under the tip of the iceberg than just looking at the top and not figuring out the solution at all. Well, thanks both of you for joining us in the studio. This is Live and Let Live Wednesdays. If you want to follow Parenting Matters and if you want to get a couple of tips just like Jack did, go to parentingmatters.in or write to them at parentingmattersindia@gmail.com. On the other side, I'm going to come back with more. Remember, the game of the day is called Fortune Wheel. It's going to go all the way till 11 and I'm going to give you a qualifying question in just a bit. But before that, if you want to take part in the game, what you get a chance to win is a voucher from Tony and Guy, a pillow from Pep's Mattress, and there's also a voucher from Kethni, and there is lots of happiness that we give you on the show by being the top scorer of the day. Remember, for the rest of you, it's happy hours every Monday to Thursday from 9 to 5 p.m. at Tony and Guy. Enjoy a flat 15% off for global highlights. Make your appointment today. Also, with regard to India's only luxury mattress designed for couples, yep, this one's really interesting. It's called Pep's Viva, and it's a sleep system that lets you cuddle up close but enjoy uninterrupted, undisturbed sleep, because there is a lot of technology in this mattress. It's independent pocketed springs, revolutionary memory foam. So if you want to live the Pep's life, enjoy a sweet and beautiful sleep with your partner, go to pepsindia.com or visit the great sleep store from a Peps near you. Also remember, this Saturday it's going to be a lot of fun because we've Farhan Akhtar in town, the man of the moment. This is a live in concert show brought to you by Touch Makeover, Pooja Malhotra and ABBA Lighting, and the radio partner happens to be Chennai Live 104.8 FM. If you want to book your tickets, book my show in Event Genie. Home delivery and any other queries, 810-507-6515. That is 810-507-6515. For all your college students out there, if you are looking at a way of charging your phone while you're on the go, get the College Wali Gadi. It's called the TVS Scooty Zest 110. Live full, be you, and make sure that every time your phone's running out of battery, here is an inbuilt USB smartphone charger that charges on the go, and it's available in a pearl peach color, which is brand new, and it's at a low interest rate of 6.99% with a down payment of 9999 only.